can go ahead and be turning to Genesis, but we're going to be skipping around this morning. I don't want to lose you. At first, this may seem a little choppy, but I want to share with you the story of two Adams. First Adam, which we were born after, who sinned and threw us all into dead in our trespasses and sins. And then the last Adam, we'll share with him next week. I want to get you lost today, and next week I'll get you saved, okay? And if you're listening by live stream, if you've never heard the gospel, I want to tell you this is why you're lost, because you're after the first Adam. And it takes the work of the last Adam to come and regenerate us. And we're going to be talking about that for the next 2 weeks. First one is the story of the first Adam. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul." And 1 Corinthians 15:45, and it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and last Adam was made a quickening spirit." I won't get into it this morning, but the difference between the soul and the spirit is so much, so similar, that it's hard to divide that. So we begin the story of two Adams by looking at the first Adam at creation. The last Adam was at the cross. Here we see the purpose and the meaning of life. And by the way, when you're witnessing to people, you got to get them lost to realize they're lost before you can even share the gospel with them. And this passage lets us know why we were all lost, dead in our sins. That's what I'm going to share with you. Let's look at the first Adam, and I want to share three thoughts about the first Adam. Number one, God's creation of Adam. God created man and a woman on the sixth day. In Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his image, in the image of God he created them, male and female," right? Two sexes, right? Male and female. In Genesis, that's in Genesis 2:7. Now in Genesis 2:21-23, we are told that God created the first woman, called her Eve, created out of Adam's side. All humans who have ever lived are descendants of these two people, Adam and Eve. That's important. I want you to remember that. Adam and Eve. Eve means the mother of all living in Genesis 3:20. And we also see in Acts 17:26. I want you to go ahead and turn there, if you will. Acts 17, verse 26. This will crush a lot of myths about the races and where they came from. Acts 17, verse 26. "And hath made of one blood all nations of people," all people groups, "all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth." We all came from one blood. "And hath determined the times appointed, before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation." What does that mean? Number one, all men are equal in God's sight. We don't need the Constitution to tell us we're equal. God told us we're equal, right? Because we all came from Adam. Secondly, that verse in Acts tells me that God sovereignly controls the rise and fall of nations and empires. Daniel chapter 2, verse 35-45 tell us that. There are nations that are extinct today, but God controls all the nations, right? And then number three, that text in Acts tells me that God is responsible for establishing nations as their racial identity and their geographic locations. This is why I'm so against those in our government who want open borders. God created nations and he created borders, right? And that's what, and I needed an amen right there. Okay, thank you. And he's the one that establishes all that. Where did the races come from? They came from the Tower of Babel when they dispersed because they couldn't understand each other. And they took on different locations of the earth and took on identities from their group that they hung around. And also, he says that God created all races. Then I learned a fourth thing. It's not really in that text. And I know that all men except a few drowned in the flood, right? But it is from the three sons of Noah that we came from. But ultimately, we all came from Adam. The Jews came from Shem. The Europeans came from Japheth, and that's us. And the Arabs came from Ham. So all nations are created with boundaries for him. There is no such thing as open boundaries, right? There's going to be a wall around the New Jerusalem, right? I hate to tell Pelosi that, but there's going to be a wall around the New Jerusalem, right? And he identifies nations and people groups, who they are and where they reside, right? Because once you begin to mix, and they do like they're continuing to do, we won't have an America as we know it too far in the future. And so we see God's creation of Adam. And secondly, I want you to see God's instruction to Adam. This too is important, because he told them what they could do and what they couldn't do, but they sinned. In Genesis 2, 15 through 17, and the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We learn, number one, that man was created to work. What do we see in our nation today? Well, we see people that don't want to go to work. They want the government to take care of them. And there's times the government steps in and needs to. But I'm telling you, if you're able to go to work, you need to go to work, right? Are y'all with me? And number two, we learned that he was to eat of every tree except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan's lie in Genesis 3, you know, perverted all that. We'll look at that in just a second. And then number three, we learned that he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that if he ate of that tree, he would die. And he did. Eve ate of the tree first. He was deceived by the serpent. And Adam, standing by willfully, ate of the forbidden fruit. Because I've heard preachers preach about Adam. I mean, can't you see, if you're the only wife you have, the only other living being, dies because she ate the forbidden fruit, you're going to be left there by yourself. So he ate also, right? And he stood by and watched her. Adam failed to exercise headship. Many men still do that today. And then Eve usurped headship when she ate while her husband was standing by. And therefore, all the women's desire is to be over their husband. And the man's desire is to be dominant and have his wife as a doormat, right? But all that can be turned around in Ephesians 5 with a spirit-filled marriage. So Adam disobeyed God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, and we see that the fall of what's called the fall of man. Now, liberals would not believe in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, so therefore they think that within everybody there's a little muster of faith and a little muster of goodness, that they're not completely dead, you know. But look in Ephesians chapter 3. You're very familiar with that passage. We just want to read through it quickly. I think we got time. If we don't, I'll speed up. In Genesis chapter 3, this is what's called the fall of man. This was where you and I were made sinners as well. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. That's the first lie of the devil. Get you to begin to doubt God's word, right? And then he says, hath God truly said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? God didn't say that. He said, you shall not eat of every tree except, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? And then it says in verse 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So the devil was the first legalist. You can't even touch it. God didn't say that, did he? And then in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, right? Refuting and denying God's word. God's word, they shall die. And when they did eat, listen, they died immediately, spiritually. And they died from their innocence and their perfection. And they were unrighteous. They were dead spiritually, with no relationship with God. And Adam began to die from that point on physically, right? And all through the ages, you and I die because of sin, right, that came into the world. And he says, verse 5, for God doth not know that in day you shall there, that you shall eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be gods, knowing good and evil. See, that's where it comes from. God doesn't want you to be like him. So therefore, he's told you not to eat of this tree, right? And that's not what God was doing, right? And of course, they ate of it, and they died. And that's what the world without Christ, that's their main goal. They want to be as God. That was Satan's goal. That's why he was kicked out of heaven. He wanted to be like God, right? And then pick up again in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, right? With her. He was standing by. He did not exercise headship, right? No, Eve, God said we can't eat of that fruit, right? And so he stood by, right? Now, with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. See, this is what sin is. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Satan worked all three of those on Eve, and she submitted, right? And God, verse 8, calling out, walking in the garden, cool of the day like he did when fellowshipping with Adam. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou, Adam? Of course, he knew where he was at. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Notice what God said. He said, Who told thee that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree thereof? I have commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. By the way, there was shame in Adam's life because he now understood his nakedness. But we got to the point in America, they can sin outright and there is no shame, right? Now notice what he says there. Who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that shouldest not eat? Verse 12, and God said, and the man said, the woman thou gavest to me, with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat it. This is the first transfer of guilt in the Bible, right? It's the woman's fault that you gave me, right? How many times we do that, right? We blame our sin on everybody else. We do not take accountability for our sin. And verse 14, and the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this deed, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. Today, if you see a snake, he's not going to be climbing on four legs. He's going to be on his belly. And this is why, right? And then in verse 15, we'll pick up there next week. But I want you to notice verse 16. He told Adam and Eve the consequences of their sin. In verse 16, the woman, he said, how greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Of course, there's pain in childbirth, right? Because of the fall. Now, I think the Holy Spirit should have put this in there, and the husband will have kidney stones, right? Don't you? It'd be great pain. And then he goes on in verse 17 and 18, talking about what was the Garden of Eden, what was paradise, was lost. You can read it later for yourself, 17, 18, and 19. The work in the garden was never meant for you to sweat, but after the fall, man sweated, right? And so here we see the fall of man. That is the fall of man. That's why we're in the shape we're in. Now, exactly how does that take place? Well, Adam disobeyed God, and Adam was the first, or the head of man, the head of the human race. We all came from Adam. We already discussed that, right? And what he did affected the whole human race. People say, well, why am I paying for Adam's sin? Because he was our federal head. He was the first created man, right? And all the sin is transmitted down to us. And by the way, it's transmitted through the man, through Adam, because he's the federal head of man. And Adam's fall from the innocence of perfection, he died spiritually, he began to die physically. This includes all of us who are his descendants. If anybody tells you that, well, I have no sin, said, well, you didn't come from Adam then, right? You know? Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We are spiritually dead in this world. Adam knew he was naked. He hid himself again. They sewed fig leaves together to hide their nakedness. By the way, that's what the world does, fig leaves. Or works righteousness. Oh, I'm good, you know. They try to observe whatever legalistic religion they need to do so they can cover themselves with fig leaves, right? But that ain't going to work, right? At that moment, they were destitute of righteousness. Their innocence was lost. They were naked and void because of God's facing God's justice law. And by the way, that first Adam's still with us, right? He pops up every now and then, right? Sometimes more than others, right? We still had that old sin nature in us. But God, through the last Adam, has gave us the power to have victory. So the Bible talks about attempts to cover ourselves with filthy rags. In Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as unclean thing. All our righteousnesses, and I'm going to explain that in a minute, are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now, Isaiah uses that word. He doesn't use that word, all our righteousness. He uses the word, all our righteousnesses. In other words, whatever it is you're trying to cover yourself, it could be a multitude of things, that's not going to last. It's filthy. Your rags are filthy, right? You say, well, I'm going to work my way. Well, I'm going to just believe God's good. Or I'm going to go to heaven by works, by human merit. I'm going to go to heaven by my kinfolks. I'm going to go to heaven because I believe there is a God. You know, there's going to be a lot of people in hell believing that there's a God, right? And all that, he says, your righteousness, whatever it is we're trying to cover ourselves with so that we can be presentable to God, it won't last. We all fade away as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So we have no righteousness in us. That was our problem when we were born. Paul says, I have no righteousness in me, right? The righteousness that I have is given to me by God, by Christ. So the law can't save us. Our human works of merit can't save us. We can't make ourselves acceptable before a holy God. Not in our humanity. When Adam, our federal head, fell, we all fell, and we're totally depraved. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean we're as bad as we can be. It means that the fall affected our mind, our will, and our emotions. It affected all of man. People say, well, there's a little good in all of us. No, there's not. That's why I don't fall with that game that says, you know, well, even at a funeral, there's something you can say good about. The only thing good you can say about them, they refuse the offer of salvation that they wouldn't have to go to hell, right? Do y'all understand what your pastor's telling me? You have no good in you. What good you have comes from God, right? And so we're in a bad way. We're in a bad way. The fall affected all of us, our mind, emotions, and our will. We're totally depraved before we come to Christ. So the question then, and we're almost through, how can sinful man be reconciled to a holy God? That's the question. Because in Adam we all die. In Adam we're sinners, right? So how can a person that is dead be reconciled to be able to stand in the presence of God? Ephesians says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, dead means dead, right? We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were not dead because we were sinners. We're sinners because we were dead, right? And he says, it's like going down to the funeral home. Open the casket. I use this a lot. And you can shake that casket. You can prick that body all you want to, but it can't respond. Why? Because there's no response to any kind of stimuli, right? And that's the same way it is with a person that's spiritually dead. They could sit here and hear the same message and just not even feel anything at all. Why? Because they're dead, right? Y'all hang with me now. I'm about through, okay? Because they're dead. That's why you say, well, that's why your brother don't believe. That's why your sister don't believe. That's why, you know, because they're dead. They have to have the last Adam come into their life, right? But so that before they can see truth. Our bodies die because of sin. He said it that way. But our souls live forever. Your soul is going to live forever, either in heaven or hell. Right? But the reason why you die physically is because of the sin of Adam that was transmitted to you. And yes, it won't be conquered because Christ rose from the grave. They may put your body in that grave, but your soul goes to heaven. And you're in the presence of the Lord forever and ever, right? And one day, God's going to raise that old body up again. A new and improved makeover, right? We're going to have a glorified, resurrected body, right? No more doctors. We won't need no doctors in heaven. Very few are going to be there anyway. We don't need no lawyers in heaven, right? Can you, folks? How they gouge you in this world, you won't need it in the next, right? There won't be any COVID. There won't be any China. There won't be any Wuhan, right? Well, I better go on before I begin to mention some names. But you won't have none of that in heaven, right? Paul said it this way in Romans 7:14, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And we're going to pick up there next week and talk about the last Adam who can deliver us if we repent of our sins and believe in him. We'll see the answer next week. If you that are listening by live stream, I'm not going to leave you lost. I'm going to tell you how to get saved next week, okay? It's through the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to begin in Genesis 3:15, the first promise of a redeemer, first promise of blood redemption. And that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Father, this morning we want to thank you for your word. Help us to understand that being a Christian does just not mean turning over a new leaf. It doesn't mean reforming your life. It doesn't mean just going to church. All those things are good, but regeneration happens from within and comes out. There's no way we can turn over a new leaf. There's no way we can transform our own life, Lord, but we do it by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes in us and lives in us. Help people understand today that they're not lost because they don't go to church. They're lost because they're after the first Adam. And they need redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one here today. You know, you're planning on your faithfulness. You're planning on what you do. You're planning on just coming to church. And you're saved. Today I want you to know that you're lost if you don't have Christ. So, Father, do your will and work in this way, in this service. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
All right, if you would get